Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, it is crossover time. Let's welcome in Mark Willard and Dan Dibley along with Evan Giddings. What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
Hi, boys. Y'all sound good today.
Hey, we had fun.
You having fun, Evan? Fun.
Trying.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. No. Well,
that's the whole point of this.
Well, I had to remind him. He was like, well, you know, we're on till 2 today. I'm like, no, 2:12, brother. We get the crossover.
Well, now, why would that even come up? Evan knows the schedule of the station.
Yeah, I make
the
schedule.
Why'd you have to tell him that we're on till 2? Was there something going on?
It was a throwaway line.
Okay.
And you know, I have a buddy that we golf with, Del Boyle.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy. And he just calls me 10 to 2. 10 to 2.
10 to 2. It's a long shift.
Yeah. 10 to 2, 12.
That is a long
fine.
Shift. Yeah, Dell. A little bit of a scuffle on Sunday. Dell, struggling a little bit. Dell? Yeah, not his finest hour.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't mine either.
What did he call you when you were noon to 3?
Signing.
Okay. Perfect. That makes perfect sense.
Shout out, Dell.
We had a good show today. We had a lot of fun. We started talking about something we didn't talk a lot about yesterday. I'm not sure if you guys did or not. The Kyle Shanahan talk with Brock Purdy after the game with the reporters around. I don't think it's a big deal.
I didn't know it was a thing until Ross Tucker sort of made it sound to you like it might have been a thing.
Well, yeah. Well, it's funny because I read a lot of the stuff out there and, you know, some people describe the conversation as, well, Kyle looked frustrated. Okay.
Yeah.
You got beat 28-18, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, the one thing he did say was it's kind of unusual. Like, I think you handle every player different. You know what I mean? I'll bet you he didn't talk to Garoppolo right after games.
I don't know if he talked to Garoppolo at all.
Yeah.
He couldn't even get that guy on the phone.
You know, I mean, if it's Aaron Rodgers, you probably don't say a word to him until the next day. You know what I mean?
Depends. Every player is different.
Yeah.
And having coached for 25 years and been in spots with mostly youth players where every player is different. And I coached a guy named Tahan Minikov, who turned out to be 2-time player of the year. And when he was younger and we would lose, if you wanted to approach him, you probably would get assaulted. He ran hotter than I run, and I run hot. And so with that player, when we would lose, including famously, we lost to St. Ignatius in a preseason game.
Still talking about it.
Well, we split the first 4 sets.
He's
hot. So we go up there, and he's my captain, and I send him over for the coin toss, and it's across the court. And, you know, we split 4 sets, and we probably should have won in 4, but we didn't. And all of a sudden, I see the referee hold up the red and the yellow, which means he's been ejected. He got ejected in the coin toss. This young man bursts from the it wasn't her fault. I guarantee you. He bursts from the stand, and he goes right out the door, kicks the door open, kicks the other door open, and he is gone on to sunset. Who knows where he is? And I'm like, Iguodala, palms up. So that individual, I wouldn't have gone to after that match and said, hey, you know, here's some things that I thought that you could have done better.
Hmm.
So everyone's different. And for Brock and Kyle, for Kyle to go over to Brock after that game is perfectly appropriate and say, look, I mean, I saw some things and stuff that were maybe you could have checked down, and, you know, you hang in there and, you know, we'll get him next time, or whatever he did, whatever he said. The fact that all the reporters were behind him is the awkward part of it.
Yeah.
Because,
well, except for
know.
It doesn't norm, like, you know what I mean? This isn't Brock's first tough moment in the NFL, and he's never done it before. Without knowing what he said, I have no idea if it's a thing or if it's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
I mean,
I guarantee you it's not a thing.
I can't think that it's odd that Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy had a conversation, but I didn't see the demeanor. We don't know what the words were that shared. And even if they like were terse in some sort of a way. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you just threw 3 picks in the game of the year. Like, all right.
Probably should be pissed. I feel like it's more of a reflection of Purdy, if anything. The fact that his coach feels, to your point, about athletes and having different levels of fire to kind of quell or extinguish. It's like the fact that Kyle knows that he can talk to Purdy in whatever way he deems appropriate, I think says to me more about the quarterback, who is probably pretty pissed at himself. He did not play very well whatsoever, and he owned it and has always owned whatever he's done poorly. So, I mean, I don't know. I just, the thing that I found funny is Shanahan
basically assuming that nobody was watching them and that he described it as spying. Like, okay, so you're like, you're in the locker room and you know that media is coming in. Also, the part that Ross was talking about, how you address the team before the media if he gets in the locker room, so why not just do it before? I don't know. It just...
Didn't he call it... He called it creeping, right?
He said, yeah, creepy.
And I was like, that's fair. We're creepy. We're totally creepy.
It's weird being in the locker room.
I thought it was a lighthearted job.
Yeah, like we come in with these big lanyards around our neck and people are changing and we're just standing there staring at them like, you're going to talk to us, right? Like, it's okay. We're creepy. I'm fine with it. We are. It's a creepy situation.
Some more than others.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, well, and honestly, it's time for that to end. The idea of like, and think about in our job, if you did a show and we had to actually like change clothes, and I know you do, Evan, because you go out and you work out and you come back and you're all, you know, you got your workout clothes and you're swole.
It's creepy.
And it's great. What if you had somebody follow you? Hey,
there's an audience.
Hey, Evan, that 115 segment was a little bit sloppy. Let's talk about it. I do think that the idea of reporters in the locker room is something that is outdated and probably should change. Because you've got, and if I'm an athlete, and I'm not, but I play a game, 60 minutes, I lay it all out there, my coach talks to me, okay, we lost, whatever, boom. I'm going to go to my locker, and I want to change and shower, but I have to worry about dropping trow and like putting on a fresh pair of skivvies because maybe some reporter is behind me. It's tough though,
because the podium does not take care of all things.
Yeah,
as you know, I mean, like the people who are really there on the daily basis. And Cam Inman said this to us when we were talking to him about it just a couple of weeks ago. It's like, if you really want good reporting, if you really want some information on what's going on behind the scenes with individual players, like there's a relationship that these reporters work very, very hard to build. And they're not going to be able to get the inside scoop at the podium. So you'd have to build, I'm not saying you're wrong, you'd have to build some other sort of like almost third party room.
That's the answer, after the fact, where people could go chat with each other. So back in the day, I used to cover the golf tournament at Edgewood, the celebrity.
You did?
Yeah.
So did I.
Way back in the day.
So did I.
Such a great event.
It is unbelievable.
It's the best.
And they had it figured out. There was a room for the celebrity golfers, and in order to get there, you had to work through what was a common media area.
Okay.
So you'd come off the course, and you'd go through this one area, and writers would be there, and you would say, you'd stop and talk and do your interview, or you would say, guys, I'm going to run in here first, change and shower, and I'll be back out. But there was a common area, and it was so easy.
That's perfect. You have to build it in, though.
No doubt.
You can't let guys have an escape hatch in the back room where they can escape the whole process.
A lot of guys famously just stay in the training room for a long period of time. So anyway, what are your... we're kind of closing the book on Kansas City. Anything striking your fancy?
On to Cincinnati.
Well, what do you guys think about this? And I've not done any sort of a dive on the numeric aspect of this, but I have a growing Brock Purdy concern.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That he's not elite?
I know. Can you believe
it? Somebody put it out on social media.
He really doesn't, but he's trying to headline it.
No. Yes, I do. I think this is a fair question to ask. Has Brock Purdy been at his worst at the Niners' biggest moments? Now, he wasn't bad in the Super Bowl. He wasn't bad against Detroit. He was kind of bad sometimes against Green Bay. Then there's Christmas. There's last weekend. I'm not going to say those are the only big games of his career. He's won 4 playoff games. So this idea, he's never won a big game. But does Brock look his best kind of at the opposite of the moments where you really want him to grow? What do you guys think?
There was that stat that was brought up, was it yesterday? His record against Mahomes, Burrow, and Lamar is pretty poor. I think he hasn't beaten any of them.
He hasn't beaten any of them.
Yeah,
he's only got one shot, right, at Lamar and Burrow.
Yeah, so it would be like 0-7, I guess. Yeah.
Right. And that to me is where this falls a little short, because he hasn't, he's never played against Lamar, Mahomes, or Burrow. They've never been on the field when he's played. So for me, a greater way to look at this is looking at him against like Minnesota's defense, where he's 0-2, and Kansas City's defense, where he's 0-2, and good defenses, Baltimore's defense, that flummoxed him. It's not about quarterback versus quarterback, and I think that we in the media, well, not we, but the rest of you, get into a lazy mode of quarterback versus quarterback, because it's not about, for me, Mahomes versus Purdy. It's about Purdy against that defense. And that, to me, is where the real conversation lies. Against good defenses, he has not been great.
That's fair, but I think there's also something that, obviously, you're right when you talk about, like, X to O. Yes, they're not actually playing head-to-head. But the team led by this quarterback and the team led by that quarterback are going against one another, and they're the leaders of the team. And I would argue that you're good in the NFL when you have a good quarterback, unless weird stuff starts happening. Like, that's why it's the same handful of quarterbacks, why Lamar goes to playoffs every year, and Patrick goes every year, and Josh will go every year, and Joe's got some weird stuff going on. We'll see if he can rally. Brock has some weird stuff going on. We'll see if he can rally. Jared Goff goes to the playoffs a lot. Like, so from that perspective, I get what you're saying, but there is something like my team against your team. And in those matchups, you know, and maybe that makes sense. They're the better teams. But I wonder what everyone thinks about that. Does it feel like Brock Purdy shrinks when the moment gets bigger?
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Here's how I would answer it, and I was talking about this earlier. It's like, okay, let's say the 49ers were in a Super Bowl window the last 2 years, okay? Fair. We still have to acknowledge that Brock Purdy might not be in his Super Bowl window yet, because he's 24 years old right now. He still only has 32 games under his belt regular season. I think it's very possible that he's seen some things this year that he's never seen at the pros before. And nobody wants to hear this, but, you know, we're talking about Goff and Burrow. Maybe when this kid's 26 or 27, then, like, everybody acknowledges he's good, but he's still very young. Very young. And this team is experienced outside of him.
Yeah, I mean, he, like, in theory, your first handful of years in the league, you should automatically be getting better each year. And right. I think that that's actually one of the things that's been encouraging about him. I do think that he's gotten better. Some do it faster than others. Like, I look at these two top two draft picks who may play against head-to-head against one another on Sunday, they look, you can already see them getting better. It's only been 7 weeks, and you can see who they were week one. They are a better version of that here now week seven. So that's encouraging, but yeah, you're right. Like, this is not a completed project yet. I also don't think that what I'm asking, that it's a sports characteristic, right?
I'm not ready to say that.
The greats get better when the moment gets bigger. Tom got better when the moment got bigger. Patrick gets better when the moment gets bigger. Can we say that yet about Brock? Or has it gone the other way?
That's the question for a lot of those top-flight quarterbacks, right? Has Josh Allen come through when he's played against Kansas City? I think that's always been the knock on Lamar Jackson. Like, he slays the regular season.
Yeah.
And he's gotten to the postseason, and he finally had a good moment against Houston last year, but then his team came up short against Mahomes. So it's, you know, as far as answering that question, I mean, Seattle did not have a good defense the first year that they played the Niners in the postseason, but Brock, I think, threw 3 touchdowns his first postseason game. I consider that rising to the moment.
Well,
that's
a big
moment. Probably big stage for him. You know, last year, the final drive, when you got to have it against Green Bay, is the Packers' defense as good as Kansas City's? No. But you got to have that drive if you want to move on and not flame out as a one seed. I think that's a pretty big moment that he's passed. So as far as the brightest lights, maybe. But I don't know if we have enough of a sample size yet.
It's tough. I mean, you look at all the quarterbacks who win a Super Bowl, and there aren't that many who win it at 24 or 25. And I just was doing a quick dive, and Brady was 25 when he won his first, and Russell Wilson was 25, and Mahomes was 25. So, yeah, he's 24. Does that mean that this is the year? You got to be like those guys. There aren't that many quarterbacks, and you can go back in history of Stafford when he won his, or Peyton Manning when he finally got his, and Joe Flacco when he got his. And
hell, Elway probably.
Right? Ben Roethlisberger is a guy who got one pretty early, but Elway at the very end. And so, you know, I don't necessarily think that his arc of improvement and, you know, his peak, and I thought it was interesting what Baldy said, and we'll play the sound a little bit later about, you know, what Tom Brady told Baldy about what he sees in terms of limitations. And those are things that probably can't be fixed. And, you know, he's not getting any taller, and maybe his arm won't get any stronger and all the rest of it. And so those are things that he's going to have to deal with in terms of limitations. But it doesn't mean that he's not good enough to get it done. And it also doesn't mean that they're not totally sold on him being the guy.
Do you guys think that his job will ever be easier, though? I mean, I think that, like, so you brought up the two rookies playing this weekend, like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. So their teams are probably not as good at the start of their careers when Brock Purdy was thrown in with the Niners. This is the first time he's ever had to play with a cast of non-superstars. Now, that I don't think that's an indication that he can't do it, but there's a learning curve, and that might culminate in a game like Kansas City's.
Well,
where everything's stacked against you and he didn't rise to the moment.
So you're talking about something that I think has been totally undersold. Because we love the machismo of the sports fan. You want your quarterback to be able to make everybody rise around you. So no excuses, right? The Chiefs have injuries too. The Rams had injuries too. Well, that's fine. Here's one thing I noticed that's different, though, about the current 49ers situation. It's one thing to have injuries. Let's take Patrick Mahomes. You've got a bunch of receivers out. Well, who filled in? At the start of the game, it was Juju Smith-Schuster. But then, who ended up playing out there? You had the likes of Mecole Hardman. You had Worthy.
Worthy rookie. Watson.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Noah Gray. Yep.
But you had NFL players. They might be backups, but they're NFL players. The 49ers in that game ended up in a spot where you're literally relying on people playing their first NFL game.
Yeah.
That's
Ronnie
different.
Bell.
Ronnie Bell is
Chris Conley.
These are
players who were playing.
Those are not.
This is unfair for you to cast it in that way.
I disagree.
Maybe the difference is Mahomes with those guys.
Of course, he's Mahomes. No one's saying.
Well, the difference is Andy Reid. Because Kyle Shanahan could have schemed it up to where Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley were guys who got the action, but he didn't. And so I don't think it's fair to look at just Cowing and Pearsall and not look at Conley and Ronnie Bell, who are. As veteran, they're more veteran than Xavier Worthy.
Well Mahomes is not built-in chemistry with those guys.
Xavier Worthy is also a first-round draft pick who has entered into the lineup week one and has now played 7 weeks. You're talking...
Chris Conley's like a six-year veteran.
But Dibs, he doesn't practice with these guys. There's been no
and whose
reps.
Whose fault is that?
Well, you can do that if you want. But
I'm just asking the question.
I mean, this week he'll practice with the ones.
If you want to blame it on Kyle, that's fine.
I'm not assigning blame. I'm just saying that it's not fair.
You said, whose fault is
it's
that?
It's just not fair to me to say, well, it's Cowing and Pearsall, so there you go.
You don't have to think it's fair. I do. I don't think that all injury situations are the same. To ask any quarterback, and we could go around the league and look at some of the other situations, I can't wait to see Baker Mayfield, for example, play football next week. You now have no receivers. Guess what? You're going to suck. The Niners are going to kick your butt in 3 weeks. You got nothing. You've got Bupkis.
Yeah.
But unless the Niners show up, and they've also got Bupkis, which is totally possible. But like it's one thing to be like, dude, next man up mentality. It's completely different, I think, when you're like, hey, you, who've never played in the NFL and got shot 6 weeks ago. All right, you're our guy. Like, no reps in practice.
You had Kyle Juszczyk. You had Eric Saunders.
That's not a receiver.
No, but look at what Andy Reid did when he lost Juju. Did he throw it to receivers at all? No, he threw it to Noah Gray, and he threw it to Travis Kelce, and he ran the ball down their throat. He adjusted.
Right.
It's fair to make adjustments. When you lose Ayuk and you don't have Debo because he's got pneumonia, You make an adjustment, but his adjustment was.
No one's making that argument, Dibs.
I'm making the argument.
No, but you make the
adjustment.
No, right. No one's going to say Kyle Shanahan is on Andy Reid's level. No one's going to say Brock Purdy's on Patrick Mahomes' level. No one's made that argument. Yes, they did it better, but that doesn't mean that. Look at Patrick's numbers. Why does Patrick have more picks than touchdowns this year? The face of the league.
And why doesn't it matter?
Well, because he's got a better team around him.
Exactly.
He's got a better defense. He's got a better system.
And he makes the plays when they need to be made.
Yes, he's a better player than Brock Purdy.
Right, and they're a better team.
So if our whole conversation is, well, if Brock's not as good as Patrick, then we should move on. Well, then we should move on.
No, that's not the conversation.
No one's having that conversation.
I'm just hearing you say that when you have Pearsall and Cowling,
this is an excessive set of injuries, and it's going to make the team look worse.
Well, then it's up to your laminated play sheet holder to make it work, and that's what Andy Reid did, and that's what he's done all year. He's gone to three tight ends, and he's gone to a ton of that, and he's run the ball, and they figured out, what do we do well? Well, we run it up the middle. We have a great interior three. We have two amazing tight ends. Let's do that. So that is the job that the Niners have.
Granted. And again, I don't think that's not where the conversation that Evan and I were just throwing out there are not to say, so everybody excuse the Niners for what they did last weekend. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that as we look at a situation right now where Brock Purdy ended up in what we all think is maybe one of the top five or six biggest games of his career, he ended up with a big crap burger on his lap, and that's hard. That's hard, and it should at least be entered into the room.
Of course.
When we assess what's going on.
I think he took a crap burger and he added cheese and condiments and bacon and a tomato and a side of fries.
And I sat here yesterday and said it was the worst game of his career. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but I do think that we're looking at an excessive lack of weapons right now, which is going to have an effect. It's going to have an effect.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further. And it's not crazy to think that if Mahomes were in that situation at this point in his career, he'll probably fare better under those circumstances.
He's Patrick Mahomes.
And maybe Brock Purdy, if this continues, will be better in week 13.
Yeah.
Maybe this year handling that situation. Before I go, Dibs, I did a deep dive on 49ers in the red zone.
It didn't get to the all 22, but
Jordan Mason.
Oh, I heard this earlier. It was good.
Thank you.
I didn't hear it. I'd like to hear it. What happened?
We're talking red zone, there's a stat.
He stinks in the red
zone. Red zone is 20 and in, but there's 20 and in, 15 and in, 10 and in, and 5 and in.
Sure.
No running back essentially has carried more in the lower red zone with fewer touchdowns
than Jordan Mason.
Correct. Yeah. And that goes for, and you can go 5 and in, 10 and in, 15 and in, and 20 and in. He's carried more times than anybody else, 20 yards and in, with fewer touchdowns. But then as you get into the 10 and fewer, he's just their production is.
I think there's two
their
things.
Their production.
There's two things we can try to say next to each other that are, I think, is a little bit of a hard line to walk. I think what we've watched this year outside of last Sunday, can Brock Purdy still function without Christian McCaffrey? Is he still a good quarterback? Yes. Are the Niners still an elite team without Christian McCaffrey? I think that's a different question.
All right. Well, it sounds like you guys got a lot of stuff to ponder today. And if there's one place you're going to do it, it's on 95.7 The Game.